Being ecstatic to have my good friend, Brother Joel McCoy, here with us tonight. Now, many of you probably haven't heard this man preach. You're in for a treat. Heard him many times. One time, which I really remember, was at a section youth rally. There wasn't a dry eye in the building. Young people were making their way to the altar before the message was even complete because of the presence of God and how strong it was in that place. This man's not just bringing notes that he felt, hey, it worked good over here. I'm going to try it over at Landmark now. But rather, you're going to be able to tell here in a few minutes, he's bringing the word of God that he has prayed over, that he's fasted over, and that God has spoken directly to him for this church. Not only is he a good preacher, but he's a great deer hunter too, I found out. And because of that, we have become close friends, and we are going to continue to grow closer and closer friends. But why don't we make welcome right now, give a great Landmark welcome to Reverend Joel McCoy.
Well, thank you very much. Praise the Lord. It's great to be back at Landmark. It's been a while. It's great to see new faces, new building going up and everything else, which I'm not real shocked at that at all. Because if there's one thing I do remember, I remember just some incredible people that love God. And I've had the privilege of knowing your pastor and his family, and it's been such an honor. And anybody that deer hunts, to me, I mean, that person, you know, is just a little closer to heaven. And so I don't know, you know, when this world, when it just falls apart and all the computers quit working and all your iPhones quit working, that's all right. We'll be here. We'll feed you. Come find us. We'll be all right. No, oh, man. You know what I love, though? I love the fact that even some of you may think, well, you don't know me. That's the great thing. Even if I knew you, I can't do anything about your problem. I can't do anything about it anyway. You know what I've got to do? I go to the same God you've got to go to. But what's wonderful about it is we're in the presence of a God that it doesn't matter what you and I don't know or can't do. There is nothing that he doesn't know, and there's nothing that he can't do. He said, hey, I can do above what you can even ask or think. And I can think of some pretty crazy things to ask him for. He said, it's all right, I'm bigger than that. I'll tell you what, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Just been feeling this today. I wasn't really sure that I'd be here. I actually wanted to come over and see Brother Carson. I said, well, I'll come over and I'll meet y'all after church. We'll go eat or something, Brother Carson. But I didn't call. I should have called myself. My uncle, he called, and he said, hey, he said, what time y'all? I said, find out what time they get out of church. I'll go meet up and eat with them. And Brother Marshall said, no. He said, you just be here at 7, and that'll take. But you know what? That's all right. I'll just get to spend some time in the presence of God, and that's never bad. Amen. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now listen, I know that I can't do anything about your problem, but I know that if we can take a moment right now, we can be honest. Say, God, would you speak to me tonight? I know it's a Tuesday night. It's not Sunday morning. Hey, but you know what? God can do things tonight that he can do any other time. He's no respecter of days either. God, we ask that you would have your way in this service. You know every need that's represented. You know every situation. God, I ask that you would speak to each and every one of us. Don't let us leave here the way we walked in. But whatever it is you're wanting to do in our lives, I ask that you would perfect it tonight, that you would move in this place in a way that only you can. And we will be so very careful to give you all of the honor and all of the praise and all of the glory, because we know that you are the giver of all good things, and everything that we need, it comes from you. And we thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name. Well, everybody said amen while you're being seated. Amen. God is so good to me. You know, the last time I was here, not the last time I saw some of the young people. But the last time I preached here, my wife was pregnant. We thought it was one. Turned out it was two. We had twin boys. That was 5 years ago. We now have twin five-year-old boys, followed up by the greatest thing I've ever had, and that's a little girl. She runs everybody. And by that, I mean she runs me, and so I just do her bidding. I love it. Oh, my goodness. I thought my boys loved me, but this little thing right here, she's 2 years old, and she thinks she's 20. She just goes around. Boy, she'll come in. If the boys do anything, she'll come in, "Daddy, spank them." And so, you know, I spank them. No, I'm kidding. Oh, I love her. I'm going to tell you, God has been so good to me. God has been so very good to me. You know, the Bible says we can ask anything. He says, whatsoever you ask in my name. I have been privileged to see God do some things that a doctor said could not be done. I've seen some people that were able to get jobs they weren't qualified for, live in houses they never should have been able to afford. I've lived long enough to see God do some things that you just have to stand back and say, there's no reason that should have happened. I love it when I see people come into the presence of God and they have a situation that it literally is, I mean, it's a mountain in their life and there's no way it can be changed. And somehow they come out on the other side with a testimony of what God has done. I love it. But what happens when the mountain doesn't move? What happens when you come and you pray and you scream and you get angry and everything else and your problem doesn't go away and your family still goes through it and the doctor's report doesn't get any better and the job doesn't get any better and the heartache doesn't go? But God, you said you can move all the mountains. What happens, though, when the mountain doesn't move? Well, I mean, we can shout on Sunday night. Let me tell you, if I show up tomorrow and all of a sudden there's a check in the mailbox that pays off my house, my car, and all my bills, I'm going to outrun everybody on Sunday night. You better wear your tennis shoes. I mean, it's going to be on. Hey, everybody, you let all the sickness leave. I have a best friend right now in the hospital with cancer. Boy, hey, you let him get out. I'm going to tell you, you won't be able to sit me down on Sunday night. And that's wonderful because we can all do that. But unless I can learn to worship in the midst of a trial, I can't make it. Unless I can learn to be faithful when everything around me is falling apart. It's not about, hey, let me tell you, God is worthy of everything I have. He's worthy of all the worship, whether my day goes good or bad. It doesn't matter. And as long as my response to God is dictated by how my day goes, then I am a prisoner of this world. Anybody ever got a good deal on anything? Anybody? Come on, we got some wheelers and dealers here. Oh, you got one? You ever got, well, you know, you got to be careful. When somebody tells you, hey, I got a good deal for you, you got to be very careful. You got to carry that conversation out a little bit further because you want to specify exactly who is this a good deal for, me or you. You know, I bought a boat once, and I thought, man, the guy, it just didn't make sense. It was such a good deal. He told me, he's like, I told you it's a good deal, $1,000 for a boat. The motor's worth that, my goodness. And so me and my brother, we took it out, and boy, we went around. Sure enough, man, my brother-in-law, boy, it was good. So we got that good deal. And we were so excited about that good deal, we went and got four other friends and put them in the boat with us. And we decided to go out, and boy, we were going to fish that night. We hadn't been out there a couple of hours, and I looked out and I said, man, that water's a lot closer to the top of this boat than it used to be. Turned out, if there were only one or two people in that boat, it was fine. But if you got enough weight, there was a little crack in the bottom of that boat that would open up if you put a lot of weight in it. And the water that was supposed to be outside would start to come inside. You know, boats are supposed to float. This one was designed to sink if enough weight was put in it. It was a great deal, just not for us. My family, I don't know if any of you have ever, my brother-in-law, Matt Tuttle, he's all over. He preaches everywhere. But he was a missionary to Holland. So him and my sister, I never got to see them because they're always in Holland. They only come over once a year. And then my wife and I, we've been traveling, I guess, around 10 years all over, you know, the United States, different countries. And then my next sister, she married a minister, and they travel full-time. My middle brother's an underwater welder, so he's always offshore and this and that. And my youngest brother, he was just, well, a cowboy. He worked on a ranch and messed with horses and cattle and all that. And he was always out of town. So we never really saw each other. I mean, it was hard to get the family together. So my mother some years ago came up with this idea. She said, here's what we're going to do. We're not coming home for Thanksgiving. She said, what I want us to do is I want us to rent a house somewhere in the U.S., somewhere. I want us to rent a house that has enough rooms, and we want everybody to go in and rent it for a week, and we're going to all go and stay there with our families, and that's going to be our Thanksgiving together. I said, well, I don't want to do that. I travel for a living. I want to be home. That is vacation. I can come home. This is a wonderful life. No. We're going to rent somewhere. So my sister takes it upon herself, and she starts looking around. She comes in, and she found a good deal. She rented us a house up in the mountains of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Oh, beautiful. Anybody ever been to Gatlinburg? I mean, it's beautiful. Boy, she's so excited. I said, listen, I don't want to go to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. You know, Texas is fine. I'm always in Tennessee. I want to go home. Well, we want to have this in Tennessee. My mother and my father, Joel, we need to do. You got to put the family first. We're all going. You should go. So we all put our deposit, and then we pay our money. We pay for the house. I'm thinking, this is wonderful. It starts getting close to time. They're all there in Texas, and she lives right there too, so their trip's about 11 hours. I'm on the other side of Amarillo, Texas. It's 24 hours for me to drive to this fun vacation house. I'm thinking, this is not vacation. I drive all the time. This isn't fun. I got two little boys. It may take me 3 weeks to get there. You don't know how long. You have kids. You can't decide when you're going to be somewhere anymore. It used to be, if I'm 10 minutes away, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Now, I can't make it 10 miles sometimes in an hour. We got to hit 4 different gas stations, restrooms, and somebody needs a snack, and somebody forgot something. Oh, my goodness. And so I was like, you know, whatever, I'll do it. So, boy, we're getting ready. I'm tired. I'm miserable. We have to leave a day early than everybody else because it's so far away. So we get on the road, and we're headed that way, and my mother calls me. And she says, Joel, she says, listen, your grandmother's sick. My family's all from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She says, your grandmother's sick. And I just don't think I'd really need to go out of town at this time. But listen, we've already paid for the house. I want you and your brothers and sisters, y'all go ahead and go. But I'm going to go ahead and go and be with Grandma just in case something would happen. I'd hate to not be. I said, not a problem. We'll all go see Grandma. I'll stay. It's fine. I understand. She's like, no. The family needs to stick together. I want you to go. Boy, she put the guilt trip on so heavy. I was like, okay, fine. It's your idea. You're not going, but we still have to go. Okay. 3 hours later, my dad calls. Hey, bud. It's like, hey, Dad. You know, I really can't let your mama go by herself to Baton Rouge. You know, that's a 3-hour drive. I'm thinking, I'm driving 24 hours. You can make it. She's like, no, I think I need to go with her. But you go ahead and go ahead. We've already paid for it. We don't want to waste the money. I want you to go. Think it unbelievable. The two people that put this thing in motion, now they've backed out and we're still stuck. I was not happy. The next day, my sister, who I see once a year from Holland, she comes in. They pastor a church in Amsterdam, or right close to Amsterdam. And she calls and she says, Joel, hey, listen, I really wanted to see y'all, but if Grandma's as sick as they think she is, I probably should go with Mom and Dad to Baton Rouge. I'll see y'all next. Now the only people I'm driving 24 hours to see are the people I can see anytime I want. The people I'm not going to be able to see there are the ones I never get to see. I was like, well, I'm coming too. I'd like to see. No, you need to go. Boy, guilt is a terrible thing. So we go on and we drive to Gatlinburg. We get there because it's so far to drive and because I'm the only one with children that's going. I get there after everybody. Everybody, you know what that means? All the good rooms are picked. The only room that's left is in the basement. They said, oh, we did that because we knew you would want the most room. I was like, I know why you did that. You didn't want babies up there disrupting your sleep. You put me down here in the basement for a reason. It was 28 degrees and the heat was out in the basement. I said, well, I can't do this to my babies. I got to do something. And so we decided, well, you know, I'm going to go. We start getting to this mountain. Let me tell you, we found out. Wow, it was a good deal. We started driving up. Now, I'm driving the absolute envy of every red-blooded American young man. I mean, it was, when you turn 16, you dream about it. A minivan. You cannot be cool in any way. I'm sorry to break some of your hearts, but you can't step out of a minivan and walk cool at all. It just doesn't work. You can lift it up. You can put mud tires on it, Flowmasters on it, stereo in it. It doesn't matter. It's a minivan. Everybody's like, oh, man, that new one's cool. I said, they don't make a cool minivan. I'm going up this. There's no guardrails where there ought to be guardrails. There's nobody looking out for your life. We are the third house from the very top of the tallest mountain in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We are going up there, and I'm thinking, this is a place where you go to die. This is not safe. I mean, there's one place, and I mean, it is so steep. It's all we can do. I mean, we were putting up there. I'm thinking, I don't belong here. Then we realize our good deal doesn't have heat at 28 degrees in the place where I'm supposed to stay. So we said, okay, well, me and my brother, we get dressed up. We're like, look, we'll go down into Walmart in town, and we'll get some box heaters, and that'll work. That'll keep it safe. So we go down to Walmart in Gatlinburg. While we're there, we stop in for a, you know, fine cuisine meal at Waffle House. And while we're sitting there in Waffle House, my sister-in-law sends a text and says, it's snowing up here. Well, I look outside. It's been drizzling rain all day, but I look outside. It's not drizzling. And so we did the dumbest thing you can do. Are you sure? Listen, if your wife, I don't care if it's 84 degrees in July and your wife says, hey, honey, it's snowing. Just say, I understand. I'll get a coat. Just say it. It'll save you. I'm saving a marriage right now. I got 27 pictures of snow in all shapes and sizes. Finally, I said, I understand. It's snowing. We will head that way. So, boy, we get in the car. We start heading that way. It has went from 28 degrees to 18 degrees on that mountain. The water has now turned to ice that is covered. They had a blizzard that night, the first blizzard of the year. I thought you got those every now and then. I didn't know you got them every year. But apparently they had a couple that year, and this was the first one. We start driving. Listen, I can drive in mud, rain, anything. Snow, we don't see snow in Texas. We cancel school if we see flurries. We don't have a clue. We're out there. Oh, my goodness. Look at it. I mean, it melts before it hits the ground, but we're mesmerized. It is a foot of snow. I am doing 15 to 20 miles an hour and can barely see. I cannot get up the mountain when I get, because the snow's just, boy, it's piling up in these roads. And so I realize that if I give it enough gas going down these little hills, then I've got enough momentum to get me up the big ones. And that works for a little while until I get to the real steep one. And I mean, I'm giving it everything I've got, and I get about halfway up that hill, and all of a sudden my world runs into a problem. Because the wheels are going this way and my van starts going that way. I put the emergency brake on. I put the brake on. And it's still just slowly sliding on that ice. We're turning the steering wheel till finally the rear end of that vehicle, boy, it goes into the side kind of a little snowbank, and we stop. We have a problem. That's all right. We're only a third of a mile from the house. We'll just walk to the house. I'm wearing kind of a dress shoe like this. Wife gets on to me for wearing my boots everywhere, so now I'm dressing up, and you see where that gets you. Next time your wife tells you, take those boots. Says, hey, you don't know what we're going to run into today. These jeans and these boots, this I'm preparing. I step out of that vehicle. I step out of the van. I go to take a step. My feet go down the mountain. I'm holding onto the steering wheel with the right hand and the door with my left. I can't walk in these shoes. That ice, my feet are just going right out from under me. And my brother's over here chuckling like a little monkey. He's like, that's all right. I'll get out on this side. He opens his door. He's all laughing. Then all of a sudden, I don't hear anything. I hear a chuckle, but I don't see anybody. He's holding onto the side, and his feet are headed down the mountain. Half our groceries that we got while we were there came out of the side of that door. They went down the mountain. We never even got those back. I said, well, what are we going to do? We did what every tough, strong man would do. We called 911. I said, listen, I'm stuck. He said, well, where are you? I said, I'm up on this mountain. I don't even know the name of it. So we looked in our phone, and, boy, we checked where we were, and I gave him the kind of the location. He said, what are you doing there? I said, we rented a house up here. He said, why did you rent a house up there? I said, we got a good deal. He said, no, you didn't. He said, nobody in their right mind goes up there to stay this time of the year until after the first snow. We don't have salt on the roads. We don't have tractors up there. We don't have equipment up there. He said, who in the world goes up there? None of that was on the brochure. It said it would be beautiful. It said it would be have a view. And nobody said you need a four-wheel drive and a life vest and all this other stuff to come. None of that. Hey, isn't that just like the enemy? Where he takes you isn't ever, it's never what he describes it as. Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be nice. And then you find yourself on a destination like, this ain't anything like what the enemy said it would be. He is great at taking one thing that is messed up and covering up where it looks like something we would enjoy. Oh, man, that relationship looked like it was going to work. Next thing you know, you think you're with the devil himself, and you're thinking, this is nothing like what I thought it was. He said, well, look, just wait. We'll try to get to you. Okay. An hour later, he called back. Hey, the tow trucks can't get to you, but it's all right because we have a special response team, and that's who we're sending now. 2 hours later, we got a phone call. We've just been sitting around. And by sitting, I literally mean sitting in that minivan, just kind of talking and whatever, taking a little nap. Finally, we get a call in 2 hours. He said, listen, we have so many wrecks right now around this county. We can't get to you right now. Do you have gas? Are you warm? Okay, just stay. I should have told him we had a small child with us or something. Apparently, two grown men are not an emergency. He said, listen, we'll try to get to you, but we just can't do it right now. We will call you back. I was sitting there. I'd love to tell you we were in there and we were singing, cover me, yes. I'd love to tell you we were having revival and we were just quoting scriptures and it's going to be all right because God has provided a way. There was no prayers. I was mad. My grandmother's sick. The people that wanted me to be here aren't here. I paid good money to be stuck. I didn't just get stuck. I paid to be stuck. I'm freezing cold. I got two little babies up there. They're freezing cold. If they can't go to sleep in their own bed tonight, I am miserable. I'm stuck here, and there's nothing anybody can do, and I'm just angry. I didn't even want to be here. I didn't pick this house. Let me tell you something, sooner or later in your life, you're going to find yourself right smack dab in the middle of a mountain. Whether you wanted it to happen or not, whether it's somebody else's fault or not, whether somebody did you wrong, your marriage, it wasn't my fault, or daddy did this, mama did this, my job this, my friend. I understand there's going to be a lot of things in life that are going to come your way, and it's so easy to park yourself and say, you know what, I'm stuck, and it's not my fault, and we just wait for somebody else to come get us out of our situation, somebody else to come pray me through, somebody else to come put my family back together, somebody else to come work on my marriage, somebody else to come make it. Why? And it's not, boy, and we get this bitterness on us because it's not fair. I don't deserve this and I don't do that. Hey, listen, if you live, I wish I could tell you that you're going to get all the great things in life. But the only thing according to scripture that I can guarantee you is that in this world you will have trials and tribulation. If you live a day, you're going to fight something. But I have known people that have spent their whole life on the side of some kind of a mountain or in the middle of some kind of battle because they were waiting for somebody else to get them out of a situation. And I've seen people spend their whole entire life and never discover what it's like to get past something because they were always waiting for somebody else to come do what needed to be done. But listen, you can only spend so much time sitting around and sulking and with pity. Finally, you got to look around and say, you know what? I didn't choose to be here. I don't want to be here, but I don't want to stay here anymore. Maybe they're not coming for us, but we've got to do something because I don't want to be here anymore. Maybe I didn't choose to be born into this home. Maybe I didn't choose to go up against this. I didn't choose to be sick, and I didn't choose. But you know what? I'm not going to stay here forever. You know what's amazing? I've talked to people that said, oh, well, I can't find a way out. The Bible said no temptation hath befallen you, which is not common to man. He said, for every temptation, he said, I've created a way of escape. But we can't see the way of escape when we're too busy looking at the problem. The more, As long as I was looking outside at the mountain, I never even started looking inside. Finally, I got sick and tired. I said, Bubba, I got to get up the mountain. I got to get back to my family. I started looking around that little van. I found this pair of boots that my wife had told me she was going to give away because they had a little tear in them. I bought them for when I went hunting in Illinois in the ice and snow. I said, Look what I found. It's amazing when you pick your mind up and you decide, I'm getting out of this. Whether anybody brings me to an altar or not, I can go up there all by myself. Whether I'm the only one that goes to church or not. Maybe I'm the only one that shows up on Sunday. Maybe I'm the only one in my family. But you know what? Maybe I got to get a ride to get somebody. But I'm going to make a difference even if it's just me by myself. It's amazing when you get that mindset, what starts happening in your life. I put on those boots. I got out there. I said, well, I don't know what to do. My brother said, listen, what if we do this? He said, we can't get through the snow. This is a front-wheel drive vehicle. What if we take those boxes? And by they, he meant me, because I'm the only one that had the boots. He said, and we can scoop the snow in front of the tires, and then we can crawl just a little bit at a time. Boy, I got that box, and I would get in front of one tire, and I would scoop that snow up. I could go about 10 yards before the snow would fill in what I just emptied. So then I'd do that one. I'd run over to the next tire, and right in front of that tire, I'd scoop out with my boot. I would break up. If there was any ice in that area, I'd break it up with my boot, and then he'd put it in low, and boy, he just, just jerking all the way up that hill. He'd put it in park and I'd do it all over again. I'd love to tell you I was out there. God created a way of escape. Woo, it's a miracle. Oh, honey, that is not the conversations we were having. I was wearing something that in Texas we call a jacket, but anywhere that actually has cold weather, it is a long t-shirt with buttons. I was freezing cold. The snow was hitting me. I was soaked. I mean, I'm tired. I'm miserable. I'm angry. I'm sitting there, I can't believe I'm on the dumb mountain. My grandmother, while I'm on that mountain, goes into a coma, was never able to speak to her again. By the time I got home, she couldn't even talk and then passed away the very day I got back to her. Never able to talk to her again. Because I'm in the middle of a situation I don't even want to be in. My babies are up there freezing. My wife's up there. I paid money to be up here. The people that got me here aren't even here. I'm up here by myself. The people that could come get me out of this, they got better things to do, and I'm stuck here. And boy, I'm just so angry. And I'm not saying it's a good thing, but my personality is I like company. So if I'm having a bad day, you got that same personality, some of you. Why are you yelling at me? Because I want you in this with me. If I'm having a bad day, I want us to all go through it together. All of a sudden, we appreciate unity. We want everybody to go through it at the same time. And so, boy, I'm thinking, you know what? Who else would I like to make as miserable as I am right now? You want to know who's fought me more than anyone else in my life? Almost destroyed my life at a young age. Almost got me messed up. Almost landed me in a lifetime where I didn't need to. I mean, messed me up. You want to know who I'm more angry at than anybody in my life? The devil. Messed me up. I thought, you know what? But how in the world am I supposed to ruin his day? And I made up in my mind, you know what I'm going to do? Every time I take up one scoop of this dumb snow. It was beautiful earlier. It ain't beautiful anymore. Every time I scoop up one little box of this dumb snow, I'm going to thank God for something. And that sounds great in theory, but it didn't start for about 20 minutes. I mean, implementation has always been my weak point. I can think about it, but you know, getting to it, I'm going to be a great saint, but starting it, that's where we get kind of hung up. I'm going to be faithful. Saying it and being excited about it is one thing. Showing up early for prayer the next service, that's where we kind of struggle with. Finally, though, I got started. I couldn't think of anything to be thankful for. because I'm on the mountain. What in the, look at my city. Finally, I start saying, you know what? Thank you, God, for a van that I can get stuck. Thank you for the gas that I've got in it. Thank you for the money to rent the dumb place up there. Thank you for the, thank you for two good legs to stand on. Thank you for two healthy babies waiting on me. Thank you for that beautiful girl waiting on me. Thank you, God, for a family that's here with me. Thank you for my health. Thank you for the hands I've got. Thank you for the ability. Boy, all of a sudden, when you get your mind focused on the good things of God, all of a sudden they start rolling in. Thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you for clothes on my back. Thank you for everything. Thank you for this. And boy, all of a sudden, man, I started getting excited. All of a sudden, I'm not miserable. When you start getting focused on the good thing, what does it say? When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Understand what I'm going through. I don't have anything to be through. Why don't you go get you a notebook? Get a big one because it's going to take all of it. And on the first word, like, gave me another breath. Do you realize for me to use one breath to complain about my day, I'm taking from one of his blessings to complain? Woke me up this morning, gave me my family. I have health. I've got healthy children. I've got a job. I don't have everything I want, but my goodness, look at all that I do have. I'm not everywhere I want to be. My life's not everything I want it to be, but I'm a long way from where I could be. God's been good to me. Boy, my brother's videoing me. He's videoing me going through the snow. He sticks his head out. The window. Who are you talking to? I said, be quiet. I'm praying. The minute you start doing something good, there's always somebody in your past or somebody in your life or a friend that wants to pop their head into your life and remind you about how bad things are. Boy, you come home on fire for Sunday school, and all they want to say is, why are you so excited? Don't you know your car broke down? Don't you know you just lost your... Honey, I got enough people reminding me of the negative. You want to be a friend. Remind me of what God's done for me. Be there for me. Encourage me. I got enough people in the world trying to tear me down. This is where I come to be lifted up. Well, we got some people we call. I got to hurry. I got to get us off this mountain. We got some people, boy, you call to complain about the pastor and the church. They got to go to work at 6 and they'll talk till you to 5:45 in the morning. Oh, you're right, man. That's awful. He don't love you. That's bondage. I can't believe they're asking you. Boy, they'll stay on the phone all day long to tear down your walk with God. But you call them, tell them how good your blessing was on Sunday night. Oh, hey, I appreciate it. But listen, I really got to get to bed. I got an early day tomorrow. You need new people. Boy, we start getting there. Finally, 7 hours later, we pulled into the driveway as the sun was coming up. We pulled into the driveway there at the house. 7 beautiful hours communing with the Lord. I was so tired. We got in there. All of my sisters-in-law are nurses. They gave me a handful of horse vitamins. It looked like, said, hey, take these or you're not going to like tomorrow. Boy, I was taking all these vitamins and everything else. I went to bed a few hours later. I was like, you got to be kidding me. We go out to the door. There's a 75-year-old lady sitting there. I'm so sorry. Would you help her? There's this truck sitting in the driveway. I said, yes, ma'am. What's the problem? She said, well, my husband's 78. He just had a hip replacement. She said, we rented the house right up there from y'all. She said, we got stuck last night, but they've got the road open all the way to your driveway. I don't know why they didn't open the road all the way over the mountain. I said, because they is we, and this is where we stopped. She said, well, we can't get to our house. Boy, we put our boots on. We went and literally we walked them all the way up to their house. We brought them food and everything else. By the time we got back, there were 2 other cars in our driveway, some of their family and some others. A little while later, there was a knock. There was a 16 and 17-year-old girl. Their GPS had got messed up. Their car was in a bank on the side. She said, I don't understand. We made it this far, fine. We started to go further and we got stuck. I was like, yes. She said, but the tracks got us this far. They're sitting on our couch over here. We had some more people sitting on the couch. Some more people. My sister came in. She said, I don't know what we're going to do. We're running out of food. We got 7 cars that are not ours parked in the little driveway there around where we rented the house. She's like, we've got all our chicken noodle soup and we've got all of our ramen noodles. What are we going to do? I said, add Tony Sasseras and water and just make it go a little bit longer. That's Cajun seasoning for those of you that don't know up here. That's Louisiana's little bit of heaven. And so, boy, I said, just water it down and, I mean, make it work. We've got all these people in our house. All of a sudden, I start realizing, you know what I'd hate? For a 75-year-old lady and a 78-year-old man with a hip replacement to be in the same situation we were in, I don't exactly know how that would have turned out. I'd hate for my little kids when they get to be 16 and 17 years old, two little girls in high school that were on the wrong mountain, weren't even where they needed to be. I would hate for them, they didn't even have cell phone service. I would hate for them to be where we were. But why am I going through this? Sometimes the mountain you're on doesn't have a thing to do with you at all. Sometimes it's because there's somebody following you, and the God knows, listen, there's a thing that you can get through that they can't make it through. I need you to climb this, not for you, but I need you to tear down some walls for somebody. Why do I have to be faithful? Because you got a little baby boy that's following every step you take, and the things that you can make it through, he may not be able to handle, but if daddy will be faithful, he'll never have to fight those battles. Why does mama have to be faithful? Why does mama have to be a praying mama? Because there's a little girl that wants to be just like you, and she may not be able to fight the battles you can fight, but there's some things she will never have to fight because she'll never know they exist if I leave a trail that she can follow. I got two little baby boys and a little baby girl. Musicians, you can get ready. I'm about to close. I know we've been on this mountain a while. I hope they live for God their whole life. But I know by experience that you can be raised in church and you can take some real, real wrong directions. And you can find yourselves a long, long, long way from where God wanted you to be. You can find yourself in some dark places, regardless if you made every Sunday school class of your whole life. You can know all the good parables and the stories, and you can still get hooked on drugs and messed up. You can still get in wrong relationships. You can still go to prison. You can get messed up. I know that firsthand. And because I know that, you know what? I pray it never happens. But if those little boys ever decide that this is, you know, this isn't real to them, and if they ever find themselves in a place where they're lost and they're not where they need to be, I hope, as the prodigal son did, I hope one day they will come to themselves and say, you know what? This isn't where I want to be. This is nothing like what I thought my life would go. I didn't think this road would lead to here. I hope if they ever get to that place and they look around and say, yeah, but how do we get back? Oh, look, daddy left a trail. I don't know how to get back, but this is the way that daddy went. Daddy prayed this way. Daddy was faithful. Daddy was always the worshiper. Daddy was always in an altar. Daddy always opened the word of God. Dad was always trying to get home. Why don't we just do what he did and see where that brings us? That's why I've got to be faithful, because somebody's coming after me. And if I don't fight this battle now, some of us, our kids, if we don't get a hold of some things in our lives, if we don't take control of some things, and if we don't become faithful in some areas, our kids are going to fight the battles that we're fighting right now, and they may not be as strong. But God, you said you'd move the mountain. He can. So if you ask God to move the mountain, who with all of his ability can move any mountain, then if he doesn't move it, he meant for you to climb it. God, I want you to take this away, but if you don't, so be it. I'll get through it. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit the church. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to quit being faithful. I'm not going to get mad at my pastor. I'm not going to get mad at my brothers and my sisters. God, I wish this was different, but if this is the road you've got for me, it may be one step at a time, and it may be slow, but if this is what you want me to do, there may be a revival in my family that's about to turn my family upside down. There may be a revival in my school, at my job, at my home. And there may be a ton of people about to come to you because of the decisions I'm making. So you know what? If you don't move the mountain, fine. I'll climb. But how do you make it? How'd you do that? Let me tell you what. Some of you are sitting here today saying, you don't know. You don't understand. You don't have a clue who I am, and I don't. But you are right there in it right now. Everybody else just sees that smile, but you are fighting everything you can. How do you get through? I don't know how to climb. We got to where we could see the lights of the house. My legs were tired. My arms were tired. I couldn't do anything else. My brother told me, he said, what do you want me to do? He said, I can't walk in these. I said, Bubba, I need help. I can't do anymore on my own. My arms are gone. I said, listen, what if we can make it up to the house and you can get some shoes? I know you got boots up at the house. Yeah, I've got them. I said, what if I get you to the house and you change and I'll take a little break and we'll take about 20 minutes and we'll come back down and we'll work on this together. He said, Bub, I can't walk in these shoes. I'm slipping. I'm sliding. I said, that's all right. I said, look, you hold on to me. I got the good shoes. I'd take one step and I'd set my foot. And then we'd go. And I'd say, boy, his were sliding all over. And they were slow. And I would just take one step at a time. And I'd get a good sure step. And I, boy, if you looked from the back, his steps were doing all over this. And then you could see mine. Maybe you don't feel like you know how to make it. And maybe you don't feel like you can get a right step. And maybe you don't even feel like you can stand up. You know what? That's what the altar's for. God said, that's all right. My feet don't ever slip. I don't ever fall asleep. I don't ever leave you lonely. Why don't you find an altar? And why don't you get in the presence of God? I don't know how to get through my battle. Then why don't you get a hold of God and say, God, I tell you what, I don't know what to do, but I'll just hold on to you. And while you're walking, I'll do everything I can to hold on. And I know that as long as I'm holding on to you, it doesn't matter how steep the mountain is. I can get through it as long as I've got you. Yeah. Honey, that next morning we walked out. If you'll stand with me. That next morning we walked out to the edge. All the girls were out there taking pictures of the trees over here. Oh, look at this and look at that. Where do you think me and my brother were? We were standing on the edge of that hill. And we didn't have to say anything. I finally looked at him. I said, you see that? We did that. And nobody can ever take that from us. Readers, they wanted us to send a story into Reader's Digest. Some of the people that were staying at the house, boy, they were telling everybody. It was crazy. But I told him, I said, don't matter if anybody else believes us or not. It doesn't matter what happens for the rest of our life. We did that, me and you. Nobody came to help us, and we did that, and nobody can ever take that from us. And sometimes that's why God wants you to get through something. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And some of us, we got the blood of the Lamb, but we haven't been through anything to have a testimony to hang on to. And God says, you know what you need? I need you to get through something so that you can look back in the hard times and say, look what God brought me through. Devil, you may fight me all you want, but look where God brought me from. Look where my family came from. Look where my marriage has come from. Look what my kids have come from. Look at the testimony. And as long as I got a testimony like that, then it doesn't matter what comes my way. As long as I've got something like that, I can make it. I don't know what the name of your mountain is. Maybe it's rejection, condemnation, failure. Maybe it's divorce. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's an addiction. It doesn't matter what the name of the mountain is. You can get over it. God can move it out of the way, but if he doesn't move it out of the way, that means he knew that you could climb it. All you got to do is start taking a step, one at a time. Honey, maybe you won't run. Maybe sometimes you don't walk. That's fine. Get on your hands and knees and crawl. Just don't stop. I'm not staying here. I'm not quitting. I've got to get what God has for me. Come on, I wonder if there's anybody in this place that you're going through something right now and you'd like to find somewhere around an altar and say, you know what, I just want to let the enemy know I'm not going back where I came from. I'm not settling. My family's going to make it. My marriage is going to make it. I'm going to make it.
Lord has done.
Come on, you just got to make up in your mind. It doesn't matter if anybody else gets around an altar. I'm going to be around an altar. It doesn't matter if anybody else worships. I'm going to be a worshiper. It doesn't matter if nobody else is faithful. Me and my family are going to be faithful. Come on, forget about the person on your left and your right. Why don't you push in as close as you can? And why don't you begin to lift up your hands? And why don't you begin to lift up the name of Jesus? Come on, if you've got something you're fighting tonight, why don't you just begin to get a hold of God right now? God, I need you. God, I need you to forgive me of what I've done.
my family. God, I need deliverance from this. Come on, every eye closed. Forget about everybody else in the building. Every eye closed. Just begin to talk to Jesus right now. He's the only one that can do what needs to be done. Anybody ever been going through something and you thought you were all by yourself, and then somebody came and laid their hand on your shoulder and started praying for you? You didn't know who it was, but there was something that got a hold of you when you realized somebody else cares about me. Anybody ever had that happen? Isn't that an amazing thing? That's what family does. Why in the world would we deny somebody else the very thing that we love so much? Why? Hey, if you've got everything you need, that's fine. But why don't you find a brother or a sister? The one place where everybody in this world ought to be able to walk into and know that they're not on their own is an apostolic Pentecostal church. When you walk into the presence of God and the family of God, you should never feel like you're all by yourself. This is the family. It's the family. And we stick up for each other, and we're there for each other. It's not about our differences. It's about the fact that we're all in this together. Why don't you find somebody, lay your hand on a sister or a brother, and just begin to pray for them. Begin to believe with them, whatever it is they're dealing with.
I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible said. Like the Bible said, for I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul's gone happy and I'm satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like the Bible said. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible. Like the Bible said, for I've been to the water, I've been baptized. My soul's gone happy, I'm satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like the Bible said. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible. Bible said, for I've been to the water, I've been baptized, my soul's unhappy, I'm satisfied, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like the Bible said. Well, he's God in the Father, God in the Son, he's God in the Holy Ghost.
You feel like God's moved in your life? Let's give him some praise right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you, God. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, what an awesome change up Tuesday night. Amen? Just like God to come in and shake things up, give us a fresh touch. Appreciate the word from Brother McCoy tonight. Hallelujah. Every once in a while we get caught on the mountain. Amen? And we get our eyes on the problem and on the situation. We all have that problem, but we need to look up higher. Hallelujah. If he brought you through the Red Sea once before, he'll do it again. Amen. If he delivered you before, he's going to do it again. Hallelujah. So excited. Thank you for the word. Appreciate it. God is good. Amen. Shake hands. Be friendly. Remember to be at prayer this Saturday night, church Sunday morning. Shake hands. Be friendly. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen.